Welcome into the podcast for Man Bob. We're here to pod. You're listening to the
Analysis.
Just realized we didn't do that on the last podcast, Bob.
We're fucking rusty, man.
Yeah, rusty. Well, welcome to the high table. We're talking John Wick 4. We teased it in earlier in the week. We were chatting Defoe, who was in the first one, but this is John Wick 4, a movie for stuntman, and it fucking rules. What did you think of the movie?
So, first of all, I think it's great. I am all for knowing what a movie genre is and leaning into it, and I think that this is, it's like ballet almost. You know, it's this, I think the script itself is maybe 14 pages long.
Yeah. And although the descriptions of the set pieces could be the majority.
Be in the script. Yeah. But they find new and creative ways to tell the story through Gung action Fu. And through their body. Yeah, and so it's, you know, the same way that the WWE with Vince McMahon says that we're storytellers, but just with our bodies. And I think that it has a lot of value. And the only thing for me now is, you know, when I'm in the office and we're trying to, without going to a YouTube supercut recap, trying to figure out, like, what was it, the third one that Halle Berry came in with the dogs, or was it then they were in the hotel with the thing, and what happened?
They do kind of bleed together, and they all take place directly after the previous one, so it's kind of a big through line, and it's all kind of like a run-on set piece.
Yeah, they're basically little episodes in a TV series, almost. Like, people will eventually sit down and just watch these back to back to back to back to back in, you know, big old sits.
I couldn't do that because, you know, this movie's 3 hours long, and I think it's really cool. But each one of these movies, you're like, it kind of ebbs and flows. You're like, this is a lot of punching and kicking. Wow, that's really cool. How do they do that? Okay, it's kind of a lot of the same. I could never watch all four back to back. And it was there was a second movie with Halle Berry, right?
I don't fucking know. I think it was two.
Three was Antebellum. So if I could rank them real quick right now, I think number four might be my favorite. And then two, one, and then three, Antebellum, I think was the most forgettable.
Okay.
One's obviously really cool. It's so much simple, right? This retired guy, hitman.
The dog.
They kill his dog, and he goes out for revenge. Easy to get behind. There's some really cool stuff. You know, the stunt work's incredible. You hear all about Keanu Reeves training his balls off, hitting the gym and the, you know, the courses, and like being able to do these moves for real, and all the jiu-jitsu and all this stuff. You know, he's got. You know, he's got Morpheus in the white room training him.
Of course.
But then you kind of get lost in the sauce of this, like, mythology that's kind of being made up as you go. Because there's no source material, right? It's just, the high table. And you got the concierge, but then he just reports to this guy. But then you have the marquee, and it's just, they're kind of, what if this guy comes in? And he's, like, out in the desert, and... So I kind of enjoy, to a small extent, the world building, where it kind of gets a little bit bigger and bigger in the mythology, but also your mileage may vary, and mine certainly does, where I think, to your point, you're kind of getting lost in the expanded universe.
But who cares? I don't know. I'm such a hypocrite, because all the time I want things to make sense and to be thought out and crafted and everything, and I'm like, whatever. Like, it's like this grab bag of just different approaches and weird backstories and you know, just metaphorical shit. It's just like they're just like throwing a bunch of shit on the wall, but who cares, because we're here for the fights.
Exactly. We're here for the gun show, and I could not tell you the story arc or what anything means, or, you know, the high table stuff. But it's just, you sit there and just in awe of this overhead one-er where the guy has incendiary shells, and he's just, that blew my mind. I was kind of checking the exits. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, that rules, and then we get the final set piece up the stairs. Did you have a favorite? Because that was definitely mine.
The overhead shot was definitely my favorite. Yeah. I had that written down, and that was actually my next question to you was, what was your favorite set piece? I did like, and this is a somewhat of a John Wick classic. It almost reminded me a little bit of Blade, but when he was walking through the hotel and they had the first assault onto him and all the kind of blue lights, and that looked pretty cool. Just the mirrors and the blue lights and the shootout there was nice. It was a nice kind of kickoff to the movie. I did like the stair sequence towards the end, and it very much like, now I won't be able to see a 200 flight set of stairs without thinking of either John Wick or the Joker coming down and splashing in the puddles. But it's like, okay, cool. And then I thought it was a little anticlimactic to end with a gun duel. I was like, oh,
well, I kind of enjoyed the break. Like, it was just like, I think a solid hour of a fighting set piece because of him. Once they agree to the duel, and then his trek to the spot where, you know, the Arc de Triomphe, the motorcycle car thing, that was really cool. They go into the building with the incendiary shells. Then you come up the stairs. It was a lot. That was like, that had to be an hour of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you're exhausted. You're like, my God, can we just like have a moment and just like calm things down? And I thought it was kind of cool how they did it. And you fucker, he hasn't taken a shot yet.
He hasn't taken a shot yet. I mean, that's a good point. It does give you a little breather. It was just, I always like the final scene to end with the best set piece, but obviously the best set piece was the overhead, and you can't really end on that. So
I was so in awe of the choreography of that moment and how fucking cool it looked as well. It was totally something out of, you know, like a video game where you're just like, you know, with bullet time and it's just like, my God, this is like so awesome.
Yeah, I did, going back to your point about the Arc de Triomphe, and I just went to France last winter. And so it was kind of cool to see all the Eiffel Tower and the about the streets, the European streets. I thought that was a nice little set piece as well.
And I assume you made it to the Arc de Triomphe. Like, you see that batshit crazy roundabout. Where
the roundabout's like, nuts.
How is anyone not getting into a crash constantly? Mm-hmm. And then you try to choreograph a fight sequence, which obviously didn't take place in the real thing. But that stuff was awesome. Like, how do they keep upping the ante with these stunts? It just doesn't... I mean, I guess they're constantly setting records for, you know, that stair sequence was probably like the longest like stair fall like a guy's ever had to do. I mean, just went on and on and on. That's so hard to do. I mean, that's like that was on like real stone steps. And I know they have padding in their suits and whatnot, but God, man. And then, the choreography is just painstaking. What I actually really liked when he's fighting that fat guy in the waterfall club. Because for a second, I thought it was Steve Coogan, because I didn't
really... It looked like a dude in fat makeup.
Yeah, I was like, is this Steve Coogan in fat makeup? And I was like, how is he doing this? Because it looks a lot like...
Is that Brendan Fraser?
yeah, give me that whale.
this guy's probably like, what the fuck? Where's my nomination?
Yeah, I'm wearing the same suit, but I'm doing kung fu.
And I sat on the couch.
Yeah, he didn't have enough whaling puns to really get the nom, though. But no, he was like some British action star that I'd never heard of, but is very well known. But I thought that scene, a lot of the scenes look cool. I like the location jumping, I think, because all the previous three movies are all New York. Two and three specifically are all like Manhattan at the consulate or the hotel. This, you know, we get a little Japan, we get, you know, the kind of the drunken boxing blind guy. And then, you know, the famous samurai actor from Last Samurai, who was also in Westworld. So I kind of liked the expanding out to the worldview aspect of it.
Yeah, they get off of John Wick a little bit and spend some more time with some other characters, including, you know, the blind guy with all the lights going off and all the sound alarms, almost like the car alarms going off as the people pass by him. That was a pretty cool one. I wanted to give a little love to the sound department, Because if they're actually out there, like, recreating a lot of these punches and blows and, you know, just the way that they have to go back in. And, you know, sometimes they, like, watch with leaves of grass and shit, and they've got to go recreate these sounds. I mean, that's probably pretty hardcore to go and get all that editing and mixing in there.
The Foley just constantly amazes me. When you're able to, like, see a video of them breaking it down, and this is back to my point of I wish they did more of this at the Oscars, like, because when I went to the Academy Museum in L.A., they kind of break down the Raiders of the Lost Ark opening scene and mm-hmm. all the different layers of sound. And they show you what was caught on in camera, which sounds like ass. And then they lay in sort of like the Foley, the score.
So what's the Foley? You're saying this, and I don't know the term.
The Foley is what you're talking about. We're like, I need a sound of Harrison Ford grabbing a rope. So then you see, like, an audio engineer, like, slapping rope on a box and then, you know, like, actually making the sound effects.
Oh, cool, yeah. All right, so that's what that's called. Okay, I just didn't know the term then. But, yeah. I was thinking about these dudes, and they're, like, you know, and they're making all this stuff. They're watching it. Let me tell you, like, the length of those scenes and the amount of time that they had to go in and make that audio sound nice. I was like, the audio team's fucking rocking it. Then you've got the guy with the garage alarms going off when he's doing his fight, the blind guy. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Look, sound team is rocking it in this movie.
What did you think about the fact that this is pretty much 3 hours long? Because I wasn't really bothered by it. Like on its surface, you're like, oh my God, 3 hours. I'm going to be out of here. Like, at what time? But then when you're in the movie and it's... And each set piece, each fight sequence is so long. It's like, how is this still going? How did they have this many ideas to choreograph and to film? But it's so impressive. It looks cool. And I don't think you're ever bored, right? I mean, were
you? Yeah, I was okay with the runtime. And again, some of the greatest movies of all time are 3.5, almost 4 hours long. You know, so length doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's pace. A lot of times when people are saying the movie was too long, it's that the pace didn't grab you and you weren't interested enough in the beats of the movie.
Well, the fact that it's 3 hours and almost has no dialogue is another thing that's kind of like, how did they do this? And why make it so long? They just had so much shit. How many times you need to, like, all right, he wins the fight. No, he's back up.
He just doesn't win the fight yet.
Yeah.
I mean, but to go back to your friend, the British actor that, you know, wanted to be up next to Brendan Fraser in the Oscar nominations this year. But, you know, the actors were having a ton of fun.
Oh, my God,
whether it's Lawrence Fishburne or Ian McShane, I mean, or, you know, Bill Skarsgård. But it's like one thing I wrote down was, like, what set of actors is having more fun, the John Wick crew or the Wes Anderson crew? Because these people really seem like they're loving playing these characters.
And everyone shows up. I think John Wick's got to be a much harder ask. Like, you got to, you know, they're shooting at night. You're probably, like, in the gym. You got to do your training. You got to do all this. It's, like, probably a lot of work.
Whereas that's McShane's why... not training. Bill Skarsgård's not training.
No, I guess I didn't mean those guys. Bill Skarsgård, what a great, like, foil that guy was. Yeah. I thought he was great. My only critique, I guess, is the guy with the dog. Like, I don't know that we needed that guy. He wasn't even that good. He didn't even do anything. I don't think he accomplished anything.
Not really. He was really into his dog. Guy definitely fucks his dog.
Yeah. That's a long callback. he didn't bring in John Wick. I guess he kind of had to be saved by John Wick, and he just got his hand cut up. Was he able to accomplish anything? I mean, he was just kind of there.
Yeah, he drove the price up on the bounty, which increased the stakes at a certain point, but for the most part was just kind of there.
The dog stuff is cool, and it's very gruesome, but it was done better with the Halle Berry dogs.
Yes.
Which I think was in 2. We can't remember.
But we can't remember. But yeah, I think that I think the some of the samurai stuff was cool, but I guess that could have used a little trimming. But overall, I mean, it's we got what we asked for, which was blades. We got some guns. We got some hand to hand combat. Old fashioned pistol duel.
We got Keanu Reeves just delivering stone cold Oscar worthy dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool. We need Nicolas Cage in the next one.
Oh, my God. I bet he's banging out of the... How am I not in that movie?
Oh, God.
I'm thinking I'm back. I kind of want to rewatch the first one. That movie, like, ruled. And then they've kind of... I wouldn't say jumped the shark, because I think this was the most impressive, but it's... You know what I mean? Like John Wick was such like a surprise hit, and each movie has made more money than the previous. Yeah. And they just keep outdoing it. Their budget keeps increasing, obviously.
Do you know what this is giving me vibes of as you're explaining it? It is giving me a little Fast and Furious vibes.
Oh yeah.
How they do, it keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then eventually you look back and you're like, how did we get here? But I'm not complaining yet.
Fast has completely jumped the I mean, I think the last one I saw was 4 or 5. Three was terrible, right? And then he kind of rebooted it. But then they're driving off cliffs and slingshotting, and they got the two cars dragging.
They shot a rocket into space. One of the, like, it was like Ludacris goes into space, apparently. I didn't see it, but some of the guys that come on the podcast talk about it. And they blasted the rocket into space with a car on top of it somehow.
But those movies look like shit. They're like, it's just CGI garbage. Like, these John Wick movies are like practical, yeah. And it looks awesome.
For as silly as this sounds, there is more artistic merit in John Wick.
Yeah.
Based yeah, definitely. On the choreography of the fights.
It's all craft. It's directed by, you know, Keanu's old stunt double on the Matrix movies. That's how they met. And this guy's just badass. I am a little worried, although somewhat excited, about the Ana de Armas spinoff TV series in the John Wick universe.
Well, I have not heard of that, and I do know that you are a very big Ana de Armas fan, so I'm surprised that you're worried about this. Huge fan.
I'm only worried in the sense that it's kind of what doomed, which I was always dubious about anyway, a Star Wars franchise, which... And also the Marvel TV shows, they just went in like in every single orifice of entertainment, and then the downfall is real. I think all the Star Wars TV shows and the Marvel stuff just like really diluted the product.
Well, I guess my secondary question to that then is, let me hit the spoiler button here. Spoilers. Tell everybody that I'm going to spoil the end of this movie, which we spoil movies all the time here. But do you think that John's dead at the end of this movie?
No.
The little gravestone and...
Yeah, you see the gravestone. I think until I see a body going in the ground, there's no way.
You need
way.
To see the body. Huh?
Yeah, show me the body. Show me the body.
Show me the body.
I mean, because like they were going to end on a trilogy, and then because I heard the director talking on a I forget which podcast it was, but he was discussing the fact that they were doing the press tour for 3, and they're just like, all right, you know, they do their interviews, and then they're at the bar like, oh man, I'm so glad that's done, man, that's exhausting. Hey, you know, it'd be cool though if John Wick was like on a horse, like Lawrence of Arabia. That'd be kind of cool to do.
They did try to do some Lawrence of Arabia shit in this one.
Yeah. So then they're just like, yeah, no, but you know, that's we don't need to do another one. That's, you know, I'm happy with the 3. But what would be cool though to see him do that, to see him do this, to like because this guy's got this whole booklet full of like Waterfall Club was just like an idea he had written down, and he's like, he has all these like crazy ideas, and. The John Wick is the perfect kind of like blank canvas to or playground yeah. to do whatever this guy wants to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. But
We'll definitely see more if they want to make it. I mean, they definitely emptied a lot of the bin in terms of their ideas. They obviously left it open.
It open ended enough to where they can come back if they want. But also, if they wanted to finish it there, they could just be like, yeah, fucking died. I mean, shit, we lost James Bond. Recently, ish.
Yeah.
Lose John Wick. I mean, yeah. Maybe they're all going in the grave.
Yeah, but no one else is doing John Wick. You know, we're gonna get a new Bond. And unless they do something stupid like
Ana de Armas is doing it.
Yeah. They're not gonna do like you know, the early years of John Wick. Him like coming up. You know, Keanu Reeves is like 60 some years old or whatever. But
Willem Dafoe still breaking into houses.
Yeah.
Don't put an age on that. Tom Brady was playing football into his 50s.
Yeah, 80 for Brady.
2024, Hayes, or 2023.
You're they're cloning sheep now. Avocado smoothies. I mean, Keanu Reeves looks in great shape, and he's obviously like keeping up with the gun moves. Yeah. That, I've never seen a guy reload a gun faster. I mean, just his commitment to that character is unmatched. Keanu Reeves is just cool. I rewatched Point Break recently. A movie rocks.
In case the audience is listening and tracking Matt on their psychiatrist couch here, he's really into 50-year-old dudes who ride around on motorcycles and score chicks. Okay. Yeah. Totally. Keanu Reeves and Tom Cruise can do no wrong. So what do you think Matt's projecting into the world right now?
That reminds me, I've got to get the bike out, go for a ride, score some chicks. As I approach
go
my
pick
30,
up chicks.
As I approach my 37th birthday in, 2 days?
Yeah.
I've been waiting for 30 years to release the clip of, Holy Grail, where it's like, excuse me, old man, I'm 37, I'm not old. We'll get that out there.
Yeah, man. 37, or as Tom Cruise calls it, Act One.
Yeah. I look forward to my Jennifer Connelly on a cruise boat era.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great era for you, buddy. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, me too. All right, cool, man. Good chat. A fun franchise, a badass movie. The great pace, great set pieces. I think the final hour, three in a row there, were probably the best in the series. Challenge anybody to come at me on that. I'm excited for them to keep upping the ante, because just when you think it can't get any more ridiculous or cool, they do it. I'm here for it. I love it. I could do with one more. Maybe one more. I don't know.
John Wick 5.
I don't want to see 9. I don't, you know, Fast 9. Come on.
Come on. 5.
But
though.
Hey, good one to end on if they wanted to end on. Because he was sort of pardoned, right? He's got his life back.
He's free. He's got his life back. You know, there was always a question of, why is John Wick doing it? Is it for selfish reasons? Just his own thing? He did a sacrifice there for that guy's daughter, for his daughter to be free. So, yeah.
That's actually a loose end, man. The daughter of the... She's going to be out for revenge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's play. They'll be back. I have a feeling. There's too much money to be had.
Guaranteed. This movie made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, yeah, good chat with you as always, and
we'll cut it there. And yeah, appreciate everybody for hanging and listening. Stay safe. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of jail. And
see you down the road.
Bye.